It's going to be slightly shorter this morning, and all the church said yay. But I've been working through a series called The Firm Foundation. And this is quite intentional because we have been working through this whole year on a series called Yield, which is what does it mean for us as the people of God to yield to God's way when he shows us something. When God shows up in our life, sometimes we are so prone to being caught up in our own thinking, in our own ways, that we don't know how to quickly acquiesce, to quickly make room for what God is doing in our lives. So that's where we started with this series called The Firm Foundation. And right at the outset, I wanted to make clear that whenever we talk about something regarding the Word of God, it is not as a balancer to something where we are talking about the Spirit of God. Usually in churches like ours, where we talk about the things of the Holy Spirit, where we are a church that believe that the Holy Spirit is at work today, sometimes, you know, you get people a little bit concerned, so they immediately preach a series on the Word of God. It's like, just so that people know, we also like the Word of God. And I hope as you've been hearing the series, you've been understanding that the Word of God is so, so central to how the Holy Spirit operates. Without the work of God by His Holy Spirit, the Word of God is just lots of religious text to you. It will be a system of belief that gets trapped, that you get trapped in. But by the work of His Holy Spirit, the Word of God comes alive, and it becomes the firm foundation for your life. So over the last few weeks, we talked about how God is not withholding anything from us. He seeks to draw us into truth. He seeks to draw us into the reality. Whenever we see that word truth, what are we talking about? The reality of what God wants us to see, not just true things. So that we as the church stop being people who just talk about biblical ideology, right? Because if you have one of these books in your home, there is a tendency to say, well, people are talking about this today. Let me see what the Bible says about that. Rather than, I want to get to know the God of the Bible. When I receive the work of His Holy Spirit in my life, He says, I will lead you into all truth. And not only that, I will also show you the things that are to come. Suddenly, the anxiety about what's coming next and how do I navigate what's around the corner is no longer something that is, oh no, did I get it? Did I get the code words right? Did I get the keywords out of this so that I understand it correctly? And I don't need to be concerned because I have the living God who dwells within me, so I'm not left on my own trying to figure things out. He wants to show me what's written in here. He wants to show me His heart. So as we were doing that, I dealt with this a few aspects of how truth works. Firstly, it is the revealer of the heart. When the Word of God comes to us, it exposes the things of our hearts. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 and 13 says, the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit. Now, those words there, soul and spirit, are very unique words, but at the same time, in the Bible, often it is seen joined. It's like the part of you that you can't fully access intentionally, but it is a part of you that knows things. It is a part of you that understands or feels. Like, you know, when you know you're in love, is that the thought part of you or the feeling? Like, you don't know where some of that comes out of. So philosophers over time struggled with making those distinctions. But guess what the Word of God can do? Goes right through. Split soul and spirit right down to what? What's the next words? Verse 13. Of joints and marrow, right down discerning the thoughts and also the intentions of the heart. That's how deep the Word of God goes. And God wants you to know that when He speaks, He's getting after those things. He's not getting after, hey, did you give to the poor? Hey, did you do these things for all the poor people in your community? Or did you do this thing? Did you love your wife this way? So we would think of like what we would call surface level acts. And all those things are good things. But we will address those issues. And we think if we do those things, we've pleased God. But the Word of God comes and He says, I'm going further in. Going right down to where your heart and the intentions of it. And that's what I'm going to address. Does your heart want to serve your wife? Does your heart and the intention of, I'm going to get something out of this if I give to the poor? He goes after that. And then He says, now go love the poor. Now go care for the weak. And because you suddenly find it wasn't just about doing the things. Secondly, the truth of God by the Holy Spirit is the revealer of Jesus. So there are things that we, when we talk about who Jesus is the Word of God. John chapter 1 tells us this, that He is the explanation of the Word of God. He is the evidence, the proof of what God has said in visible form. We will go into this in the Word. But He is also the revealer of truth. In John 16, verse 20, He says, in John 15, verse 26, well, when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, He will come and bear witness of me. So the Holy Spirit starts to reveal who Jesus is. So there's a reason why you and I, when we read this book, what are we reading for? I'm asking, this is an open question. What are we reading for? When you go to this book, why are you reading? Have you ever asked yourself that question? Or is this just something Christians do? I read so I can know Him. Not know what I should do, because that's often what we try to get out of it, is what do you need me to do? What am I supposed to do as a Christian? And that's what we spend most of our time doing when we open this book. But He says, when you touch this book, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send, He will bear witness about me. That when I open the pages of this book, whether I'm in the Old Testament or whether I'm in the New Testament, He is showing me what Jesus is like. Can I have that slide up, which I had last week? So today I can explain it a little bit better. So there are three primary words used when we talk about the Word of God that we see in Bible text. Okay? So it's the word logos, it's the word rhema, and the word graphe. Okay, so these words are all used at different places in your Bible text. But in your English Bible, it will simply be translated as the Word. And you will be tempted to just think it just means the Word, like the Bible, right? The Bible wasn't, that is just one part of it. But what Jesus wants you to see is that He is the Word. In John chapter 1, can we go there? John chapter 1, verse 14. We already heard in John chapter 1, verse 1, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Right? But in verse 14, it says, and the Word, and that word there is the word logos. And the logos became flesh and dwelt among us. What dwelt among us? The logos. And that word logos, when you hear that word, you should understand the evidence of, the proof of, the explanation of. Okay, go back to the verse. So the explanation, the evidence of God became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as one, as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth, full of the power of God. Whenever you see the word grace, you should think this is the way God's power works. Whenever you see the word truth, you should think this is the way the reality of who God is works. So he is full of the power of God and full of the reality of God. And he says, let me explain who God is to you. People who are always looking into the ether and going, I feel something, but I don't know what that is. There is some higher power out there. And he says, no. You're not going to be fumbling around for some higher power. Let me show you this higher power. And his name is Jesus. So that is why Jesus came. That you would know God in the flesh. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3 says, he is the radiance of the glory of God, the exact imprint of the nature of God. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purifications for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Go back to that slide. So that, if you look on the slide over here, is right at the top left. This is, in theology, we explain this as the hypostatic word, or the person who is the word. So Jesus is the one who is that. Just in his person. Jesus as a person is the word of God. He doesn't need to say anything to be it. He is the word of God. Now, that word is most often translated in your Bible as the word logos. But guess what? When Jesus speaks, what is it? It is that word rhema. So the message of Christ, so the same Jesus who is the person, he says, the words I speak are spirit and life. So now suddenly you have the word that is able to transform something, has creative power. Why? Because he is the agent speaking. So whenever you see the word rhema in your Bible, or it is translated as the message of Christ, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Have you heard that verse before? When it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, it's not saying, let the Bible dwell in you richly. It says, let the word that is spoken by God dwell in you richly, which is that word, rhema. If you're reading it from your Bible, or whether it is Jesus speaking by the Holy Spirit in your heart, you're saying, I'm letting the word of God be spoken audibly in my heart. So I'm not just looking for text to agree with. I'm not looking for something to agree or disagree with. I am paying attention to the God who is my Father. So when he speaks, what is my response? Here I am. I'm listening. I'm not reading a thesis on how faith works. I'm not reading, this is the details of how this operates, and this is what grace is, and this is, I don't need for you to write a book on theology. He's like, when I speak, are you paying attention? In my home, we have this rule, is if I say your name as a child, I don't care where you're sitting in the home, whether you're on your video games, or whether you're in your room, or whether you're in the bathroom, the first response is, yes, Dad. Yes, Mom. It's not, huh, yeah, what? No, those are not suitable responses. Not for any, let me show you who's boss kind of reason, but we need to draw a heart of saying, I have heard my name called, I give honor. Not because of any some dramatic reason. I need to respond quickly. Not later on. I just want to respond. There are times where we have not been heard. And then we have to say, okay. You are not in a place that you could hear me. So if you did not respond to me, my assumption as a parent who loves you and knows you love and honor me, if I couldn't hear you, that means something is wrong. You could be in trouble or there's something that's happened. Do you understand? So that's, have you noticed, like when you're out at the playground or something and you call for your kid and you don't hear them respond, what goes through your mind? Why? Why? Because there is an inbuilt understanding that if I say your name, at the very least, I'm going to hear you. So when we go to the Word of God, we expect that I can just amble up to this thing. That's my verse for the day. I'm good. Let's go. And he's like, I want to speak to you. I want to. But he, when he calls your name, is that message able to get through to you? And that's what you understand when you hear this word, rhema. So rhema and logos almost go hand in hand. You will always see the explanation or the evidence of something is based on the one who spoke it. So in the time of Jesus, he was speaking things. He was testifying to things, which was then handed on to his disciples, who we call the apostles, right? And they started to write these things down. And when they wrote these things down, it became the graphe, which in Greek is almost uniquely used for the word scripture in the Bible. It's not just because the word grammata is like for writings, which is, could be any kind of writing. So they use the word graphe specifically for scriptures. So whenever it's talking about the scriptures, is it saying that this is not logos? Is it saying that this is not rhema? Mm-mm. Because it is based, they're writing things down about the Jesus who was the Logos. It is writing things down, which is what God spoke to his people. So all of it ends up becoming rhema. All of it ends up becoming Logos. It explains who God is to me, but it is God speaking directly to me. When you look at the Bible, I want you to understand something. This book was not written to you. One of the biggest hurdles people have in Bible study is we think this was written to us. Just open to any book. Pick one. Song of Solomon, that's where mine opened up to. Try that one. Okay? Any book of the Bible was not written to you, but this is the key. It was written for you. So right from the Old Testament, we have an account historically going through, and God specifically was talking about the line of Adam going through, which meant the line of Noah, the line of Abraham, the line of Moses. You see this covenant relationship with the people from Abraham and went to Israel. From Israel, you start to see the line of David, which then becomes the line of Jesus, which then is passed on to the church. So it's almost like this story. So there is side details that you get on either side of what was happening in the world and what was happening around. But is the focus those things? No, it is written to these people. It's like a thread that goes all the way through. But the intent is very clear about who it's for. So in your Bible reading, you will find that God was speaking to a very specific group of people. So when I, in the 21st century, am reading through some of these things, I cannot read it like a 21st century person. That's one of the first things I got to admit. Like, okay, I don't understand exactly what's going on here. Like, why would they do these things? Okay, let's go back. Let's go find a few friends who know that there is some details like this hidden under plain sight. Like, it's in plain sight. But I wouldn't know that these things are in there. This is why we get to together as the church and say, let's dive into these things a little bit more. Because I don't have an education for this, neither do I have an understanding of these things. Do we need all these things to be saved? Question. No. What you need is an encounter with the living Jesus, which is this worked out. So there are so many times you don't need $10 words. You don't need big diagrams. You don't need anything if you have the living Jesus. However, now that you have been saved, I want to be someone who responds to the things of God and grows in my understanding of things for His name's sake. So when we look at the written word, can I go to 2 Peter? 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 16 says this, "For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses of His majesty." Do you see that right there? This is an apostle who met with Jesus. This guy was a fisherman. The guy who's writing this was a fisherman. And Jesus called him out and said, "You're going to be one. On this rock I will build my church. Your name is going to be Peter." So this is that Peter who is writing these things. And he's saying, "I was an eyewitness. I saw this stuff. I saw the living word. I saw that word that we're talking about in John chapter 1. I saw him. I touched him. I met him. And I did not come and preach to you with some really cool sounding myths and let me tell you a really nice fancy story. I showed you the power of God and I witnessed His own power." Verse 17, "For when He received honor and glory from the Father," this is at the Mount of Transfiguration He's talking, "the voice born to Him by the majestic glory, 'This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased.' We ourselves heard this very voice coming out of heaven, for we were with Him on the holy mountain." How many of you remember He told Peter, James, and John to go with Him to pray? This is just before Jesus was crucified. Remember, He went away to pray for a little while? And that's when this event happened. Out of heaven, this voice comes out again, which happened when He was baptized, and it happens again here. And it's called the Mount of Transfiguration, where Jesus was full of radiance, full of glory, and He says, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." And then verse 19 helps you see this. "And we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed." So this word, this rhema, which you heard from some holy mountain, someone spoke, and you're like, "I don't know, I wasn't there, dude. I don't know what you're talking about." He says, "You have this prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts. Knowing that, first of all, no prophecy of Scripture is down to someone's own interpretation." So I cannot just cook this stuff up and say, "Well, this is what I think, guys." He's like, so if there was something that happened, we need it put down. And he says, so all the things that God did with the apostles, all the things that Jesus, when He talked to them and ministered through them, he says, all of the prophecies, even from the Old Testament, Jesus lived them out. He fulfilled the law. He fulfilled all of the prophecies about Himself. And he says, and now we had these things written down for your benefit. You would do well to pay attention to it, like a light shining in a dark place. And don't think for a second that this is up to someone's interpretation. Don't just cook up your own meaning. "For no prophecy," verse 21, "was ever produced by the will of men, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." So to understand that this book is not just the musings of Peter. hey, let me just think, what's some cool things to write about Jesus? Hey, I'm the Apostle John. Let me think about some really nice things to say about Jesus. This wasn't like a puff piece. These were people who says, these were the things that happened, and this is the reality of who Jesus is, and we need these things written down for you. The Apostle John, right at the end of his book, he says, man, if I were to go into everything that Jesus did, I would run out of books. There are not enough books to put down everything in detail of what Jesus did and said. But these are things are written down for you so that you may believe in him. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 says this, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing from whom you have learned it. So this is Paul talking to his spiritual son, Timothy. He's a young guy in the church, but he's now growing into the pastor of this church. So he's a very young pastor. Imagine this, imagine when I first came to this church, I was a very young pastor. It's like, okay, this guy needs some people to help him figure out what it is to lead in a church. And in verse 14, he says, just keep doing the things that I taught you. So as his spiritual father, he says, continue in the things you have learned. And how from the childhood, this is verse 15, you have been acquainted with the graphe, the holy, the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All graphe is breathed out by God. Do you see the breathed out by God part? Do you see the rhema part of this? So all graphe is rhema. Do you see that in the verse there? So you, even though those words aren't used there, it's using the language of so that you understand that God is not disconnecting any of this. He's not saying, well, this is dogma. This is just like, yeah, it could be hit or miss. No, no, no. When God opens his mouth, it is instructive for you. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. For us to understand that this book is not the Christian's spiritual text. That's not its purpose. Its purpose is to understand that God is speaking. And when God speaks, I must pay attention. I must respond. So I treat this book not with reverence because of the book status, but because of the God who's speaking. So I pay attention to it like a light shining in a dark place. When I open its pages, I'm not trying to decode it. I'm not trying to understand what Revelation prophecies really mean and what's really happening with the government and whether this is all a big conspiracy. That's not what this book is for. This book is so that I might know him. So that in him I might have peace. In him I might know what is to happen. Not for any other purpose. So when I deviate from the purpose of this book, I end up loving the book for something that it was not designed for. I end up honoring and revering a book and not the God who spoke it. So this ends up becoming my morning devotional without it really being an encounter. It becomes a text for reproofing somebody else out there, those godless people. And I forget that I was encountering a God in here. And I was merely using its text to blame somebody who was not joined to God. This book is for who? For me. So as long as it is today, I will not harden my heart. So when I stand, go back to that slide. When you start to find that the ministry of Jesus, who is the Word, right? When they'll find it. All right. So when you find that Jesus, who is the Word, when Jesus left, he was very, very clear. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light on a hill. We did this morning in our Sermon on the Mount class. And when you start to find, we by ourselves don't have any potential to be Jesus. But Jesus says, I am imparting to you as my body the life-giving Spirit of God who will represent me. Which is where the New Testament uses words like, you are my ambassadors. I've given you the ministry of reconciliation. Where do you get off thinking you can reconcile anyone to God? Think about it for a second. How do you think you have any power to reconcile somebody to God? But he gave you that ministry. Why? Because the living word said, with my Holy Spirit within them, they will manifest Jesus. So when people look at the church, not individuals by themselves, but the church collective should be an expression of the living Jesus. When Jesus said, I will be seated on high, and Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, talks through this in great detail. You are seated together with him in heavenly places. Who? You by yourself? No. The church as a whole is seated together with Jesus in heavenly places. And then in chapter 4, which if you were following along in your Bible study, in chapter 4 we dealt with this. According to the measure of Christ's gift, to each has been distributed a gift. It is whose gift? Christ's gift. It is his. He is the fullness of God. Can we be Jesus by ourselves? No. But is Jesus being represented in the world? Absolutely. So if you are for any moment saying, I mean, I'll go ahead and just read the Bible and see what I need to do. He's like, I am living within you. The truth of God resides within you, not because you're some perfect human being, but because you, in submission to the Holy Spirit, he says, I will put a new spirit within you. I will put my laws on your heart so that you will walk in my ways and you will obey my truth. This is something God will do. And my job is to say, yes, Dad. The moment I hear my name, yes, Dad. And I don't wait there going, I'm not convinced yet. So as I wrap this up, I want you to see that when Jesus speaks, he responds in this age, in this time, it is through the church. It is through the working of his Spirit. So the prophetic word, so when you hear, like during the worship time, we had God specifically addressing people who are carrying cares and burdens that needed to be laid down before him. Now, could that be true of any given day? Sure. But is God speaking to us as a church in this moment? Yes. What is my response? Yes, Dad. Do you understand? When you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. When you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Because that is what he is after. Because the word of God is living and active, able to pierce through bone and marrow, right down through soul and spirit, down to the intentions of your heart. That is the word of God. So I'm no longer interacting with a book. I'm interacting with the God who spoke this. And he wrote it down so that I'm not imagining stuff. How do I know that what we heard this morning is accurate? I find it written down. I'm not making this stuff up. This is consistent with who the God I understand, that logos, that evidence, that explanation, that description, that definer of truth. It's written down. So when he says, bring to me your burdens, I could sit here for the next 2 hours and give you verses on where he says, bring, I care deeply about the brokenhearted. Not just the ones who seem like they're accessing all the wonders of God by such wonderful faith. But are there verses about God calling us to profound, dramatic faith? Yeah. But what was God focusing on today? Come to me, you who are weary, you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Those of you who are carrying things, he wanted to address something today. So when you start to go all the way around, you start to find the preaching and teaching, which comes from the written word of God, is no longer some static book, which I'm trying to peel some sort of magic codes from. I'm not trying to do numerology with it. I'm not trying to say verses 3:16 in every book is going to be some life verse for me. Why? Because John 3:16 is the salvation verse. I've seen people do junk like that. And it's like, just listen to God. He's speaking through the whole book. So then I stop trying to pay attention for, now this book needs to tell me everything about science and everything about history and everything about, it's not. It's not written for that purpose. But can I know the things about history and science and certain things explained to me? Sure. But is that its purpose? No. The moment I try to make God's word fit my narrative, I forget that he's the one speaking. There are certain things I do not share with my kids, period. Well, why? I'm a legit human being. I deserve, no, you don't deserve to know everything. As my child, you deserve to know certain things, but I don't have to tell you what your mom and I discuss. Why not? You might say. Because you're a kid. So when you start to find out that there are things that God wants to show you, he's not holding out because he has some sort of vendetta against you understanding everything. His heart is to show you everything for your sake. But there are certain things he's like, this will confuse the heck out of you, so I'm not going to say this right now. And in the fullness of time, there are things that you will see and you go, oh, that's why we didn't see all the Christmas presents before Christmas Day. Oh. So there were Christmas presents, we just didn't see them. Yes. Because you would have already ripped through them. So I want you to understand our heart posture to God's word needs to change, not because it makes us more holy, but because he's saying, I'm drawing your heart. And we've gone through this. I've beat this drum now for so many weeks. God desires your heart more than anything else. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you want to reveal your heart to us. So Lord, we open ourselves to receive from you. Lord, in every form that you speak, we do not minimize, we do not trivialize anything that you say. Lord, we want to honor you, Jesus, the work that you did on the cross. Lord, that Christ and him crucified would be the thing that is seen in the church more than anything else. The living Jesus would be seen through the works of the gospel. Lord, that when we approach the written word, that we would find life and truth. Lord, I ask that for us as the church in this day, in 2025, November 30th, Lord, that you would help us to be the platform and the pillar of truth in our generation. Lord, as your word has called us to represent you and represent you well, help us, Holy Spirit. Lord, we yield our thinking. We tear down every lofty thought and idea that we have enthroned in our own minds. And we submit ourselves to you. Word of God, speak. Word of God, speak. That we might listen, that we might heed your voice, and that we might follow you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Just by way of reminder, as you head down to get your kids, Catalyst, a few people will be staying back. Today is a day we have decorating.